sentence and share with us a piece of advice for when we go home. As if we haven't already been given enough. Just one more summary, one last summary, one statement to help us be God's men, God's women, as we leave this place. There's no order, and there's no seniority. Just maybe if you've spoken this week, if you're one of the couple that have been here and are part of this, please come now and share with us. Preachers are not God's preachers. Ministry can be frustrating at times. I talked about that in one of the lectures. But we can't let that frustration make us bitter, because it will make us ineffective. A man was talking to a preacher that had been through a lot of problems. It seemed like problems followed him everywhere he went, but not, it didn't seem to be his fault that those problems had happened. And yet the preacher, though he had suffered a lot, was always positive, always smiling. And the young preacher asked him, how can you be that way when all of these things have been done to you that you didn't bring on yourself? And his answer was, I don't let that bother me, because through all of that, I have come to know God. We need to take our frustrations and allow them to be the vehicle through which we come to know God better. And change, as I mentioned in one of the lectures, the content of our prayers in the midst of our suffering from, perhaps, God, get me out of this. Do God help me to learn the lessons you want me to learn because of this? Church for the deaf in Austin for a while, and I learned a lot of sign language. The deaf have a sign, they actually have four signs for Bill. But the one that always intrigued me was what they called the sun sign. But one of the older men there said, it looks like our going is like this. I was privileged to preach a gospel meeting in Valley View, Texas. Brother Holly Duffield was the preacher there. He's gone on to his reward. He wanted to let the congregation know that I worked with the deaf. And so when he got up to introduce me the very first time, he said, "Brethren, we have with us today a preacher who can
saying anything. Now, all of that to bring to this point, we need to learn to be humble.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was there approximately 6 years. I did thereabouts 50 funerals. You can imagine being a new preacher and having to do 50 funerals over that brief period of time. One thing about it is it made me be more open, more connected to the members and to their families. And it made them more than just members. It made them a part of me. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I want to encourage all of us to remember that if we really are following Jesus, what we're going to constantly do is see people as Jesus sees them. And he sees them as he wants to see them into eternity. And he gives us that great commission to see souls. When I was a really, really young preacher, I heard Brother Jerry Jenkins. Great personal worker on the other side of the Mississippi River. And he looked us young preachers in the eyes. And almost with tears and with passion and pleading, he said, I want to challenge you to sit down and study with individuals. I was a young preacher. Why is he emphasizing this? Wouldn't all preachers sit down and study with individuals? And then just simply explained to us how few preachers really do that. And then he challenged us. He said, I want to encourage you to sit down and study with three individuals every week for the rest of your life. That's one of the best pieces of advice that's ever been given to me. Because in that challenge has caused me to always see people as souls. And it also has caused me to change my preaching. Because now every week I'm reminded I preach to souls. And it also has helped me a whole lot to not be burned out. Because we're reminded constantly that we're involved in an eternal work.
Jesus, I love thee. I love thee all mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. And ever I love thee. My Jesus does not. Broken vessels, not cracked pots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but the exceeding power may be of God to show that the exceeding power is of God, not of us. You emphasize the depth of your relationship with God. He'll take care of the breadth and length and height of your ministry. It's so easy to get consumed by the breadth and length and height of your ministry that you neglect the depth of your relationship with God. The power is of God, not of us. Not every preacher can preach with the eloquence and charisma of Dan Winkler. The Bible says that the power is of God. Preaches from Mark Julian, like David Shannon, such a passion for souls and ideas on how to bring men for Christ to Christ. Not every church grows like Mark Julian. But David Shannon knows that the power is of God, not of men. Not every person can preach like Eric Owens with such passion and conviction and move people. I'll tell you what, the surpassing power of God can be seen in all of us. And all we can say is how amazing and awesome it is.
To please Him. Sometimes we would see Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is ultimately about getting to heaven. And it is ultimately about the God who has made the provisions to make that possible. Our faith must be in God, but it is not our faith. It is His grace. It is our faith in His grace. It is our trust in Him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We trust Him, and that trust moves us. But it's not the movement. It's the trust in Him. It's Him. You can't have anybody or anything between you and your God. You have got to have a knowledge that is based on the reality of Him. And a conviction in His goodness, and in His love, and in His mercy, and in His grace. You can love the brethren, and you should. You can love the Lord's church, absolutely, and you should. But everything that has is because of Him. And it is inevitably, and will be, inevitably His goodness that gets us there. And you must not allow anything or anybody between you and your Savior. When your life is in shambles, and when you have sinned to the point where you're asking not, why did God forsake Jesus, but why did God forsake God? The thing that gets you out of the pig skin, the thing that moves you to those tears and the hurt, is because that eternal goodness has been given to you and you approve. appreciate the fact that you spurned it. Until you know that and feel that, it is the burden of sin and its pain that makes you appreciate the bear who lifted it. But if you convince yourself that it's your goodness, that it's my abilities, it's the way I preach, the way I talk, and the way I act. I would absolutely hate it. I appreciate Mike saying it. I would absolutely hate for 1 second for you to believe that I am 1 ounce more than I am. I would hate for you to put any confidence in me.
I would hate for you to believe that I am more sanctified than all of us offered together.
Two things that I want to challenge you to do. First of those is to pray for us. This God mentioned this word. Jesus Christ, hand in hand, through this world.